Hey there, Sean.
Hey, Pierce. How's it going?
It's pretty okay.
All right. That means it's time for another episode of the It's Pretty Okay podcast. Let's do it.
Let's start the show.
Idea how glad I am to be recording a new episode of this podcast. It's been a few weeks. There were circumstances like moving into a new place. The person that I am moving into that new place with maybe suffering a medical emergency while helping me move into said place. So I'm kind of delirious from working and also doing like home caretaking and also continuing to move. and so it is a great relief to have this back in my life. And I think it feels sort of fitting, Pierce, that you came to us this week wanting to talk about vegetables.
Yes, that it is accurate that I came and wanted to talk about something just basic to existence and subsistence,
yes,
which are vegetables. And I have made a very impactful life decision around how I get vegetables.
I thought here I was thinking we were talking about the Cloud Security Alliance.
Oh, well, we can talk about that too. I actually don't know what would be more impactful for SEOing the episode, but it really could go either way. Yeah, exactly. But actually, I think, Kevin, you brought this up as we were like screwing around beforehand, which was not, I don't know, wasn't like shocking, but I just didn't know people were interested in this life decision I made.
Oh, I mean, I bet we eat more vegetables than most people in my household, and different kinds of vegetables. And I've always been intrigued by the idea of a CSA, but we're also kind of like A, control freaks, and B, it's, I know it's for a different purpose, but you just have to convince me to do something other than go to the grocery store when I want to get what I want. And for usually better prices. So it's just, it's got like a, the idea is awesome, but it just seems like it's got, there's a, it's an uphill battle for me to get there.
Yeah. So let's say what that term means, CSA, first. And all your points are really good. And I think, you know, understanding where you're coming from, being there a lot of times, and then why I think this is a little bit different. And maybe I'm still working through, well, I know why I did this. But whether, how it will be, I'll let you know in 15 weeks. But CSA is community supported agriculture. In this instance, there is a place local to me called Love is Love Cooperative Farm. I've bought seedlings, plants from there before. They have excellent produce, but they're a farm outside of Atlanta that I'd never seen them at the farmers markets before around here. And lo and behold, I was notified by a favorite follow of mine, Austin Louis Ray, that they had openings for their CSA. And I took a look at it and thought about, you know, is this something I was willing to do? And I, well, actually they haven't invoiced me yet, but in theory I've plunked down the money to be part of this experiment for 15 weeks, where as part of community supported agriculture, you go every week and I have a full share. And I go, as I did today for the first time, and I fill a bag with the stuff they've directed me to pick up. And this week, that was arugula, bok choy, radishes, green garlic, a container of strawberries, some beautiful lettuce. And lo and behold, surprising to me, a container of shiitake mushrooms, all local, most, except for the lettuce and the mushrooms, were all from their farm. So I'm very excited about this, but it is new and different. And I think that the way I got here is maybe why I finally did it after many years of thinking about it, I think is also important.
Well, let's talk about why you did that, because like I am a person who has thought, Emily and I have both thought individually and together on several different occasions about participating in CSAs. She's actually done it once. I've never pulled the trigger on it, and I feel like I know most of the reasons why I have not done it, but I'd like to know what it was that actually pushed you over the edge to go for it.
Yeah, so I think that I am someone who enjoys grocery shopping, and Kevin, to your point, I like picking out stuff, be it staples that I need from the grocery store, or when seasonally appropriate, going to the farmer's market and picking out things that I'm very interested in and I want to get, and I want to get it fresh. Not so much like the organic part, though all this stuff is organic, but like getting local stuff, like that's really cool to me. Part of it too is I like going to the same people, like truly understanding who the farmer is or who the people who work there. One thing since I've been here is there's not like one place that I feel super connected to. There are a couple I like, but you know, there are a few and they kind of have the same stuff and there aren't really any differentiators. My interaction with this farm has been positive, and that kind of took me to the point. It's like, well, this is how I can get access to their stuff. And this is appealing for me. So to your point, Kevin, I am giving up some of my agency in what I can pick, but I will say I've not eaten any of the stuff. Well, actually I had a radish before and it was lovely, but the things I got are the same things I would have gone and picked up at the market today. I know that CSAs, it's always like, what do I do with 3 pounds of zucchini or whatever? It's like, well, I am the type of person, and not everybody is this way, where I will get excited about that challenge. So I'm kind of giving in to that, and that is not for everybody, and I totally understand.
Yeah, so off the bat, you hit two. I was taking down some notes, and I think I have, like, there are three main things that have kept me from committing to it. You hit the first two. One is exactly what you just said. There is the potential for being like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with 3 pounds of X? Or depending on when in the year you're doing this, which we'll get to in a second, what am I supposed to do with a kohlrabi? I've never...
Who?
Exactly.
He's a swingman for the Pistons, right?
Maybe. And like I'm a person who I have enough trouble coming up with ideas for something when I go to the grocery store without like I am going to procure items to make this thing for dinner tonight. So like in some ways committing to a box of produce that you did not choose for yourself is kind of Russian roulette-y for me. And there you have to also be a person who is fine, who is like kind of enthusiastic about what I might call an aggressive commitment to seasonality.
Yeah.
And like that's there's nothing wrong with that, and it's a good and sustainable way to approach life, but it is very much not consistent with like what, for better or worse, you'd call the American approach to food buying. So you know, you kind of have to rewire your brain a little bit. The third is you front load all your costs and are paying for your produce for the season, and like for some people, like that's fine. You probably actually get a decent deal maybe compared to buying weekly at the market, but like it's a pretty daunting thing to sign up and plunk down a couple hundred dollars for a season's worth of produce. Like, it's hard to conceptualize what you're going to get for that money, especially with those other stumbling blocks in play.
Yeah. I will come back to the price because I do think it's important. Mm-hmm. Max, did you have something, though?
Well, I'm curious, like, you mentioned, how often do you pick up these boxes?
Once a week for 15 weeks.
Once a week. So, like, mm-hmm. one of my hesitations, I kind of like the seasonality approach. I find to be, like, an exciting thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually try to eat more seasonally because there's nothing worse than getting stoked about, like, a BLT in December and getting everything and then realizing that tomatoes in December are just not good. Like, it's an extreme example, but, like, there's nothing, like, eating more local, eating more seasonal, like, that seems cool to me. Mm-hmm. The challenge of eating all the vegetables, I totally with you, Sean, and we can talk more about that, but I'm curious, like, I tend to pick what I want to eat and go grocery shopping every day. And my experience, especially with organic produce, is that it does not last very long. So I'm curious, yeah. Like, that would be my biggest sticking point, is I get a box of vegetables every Monday, and I need to eat them all by Wednesday, like Thursday. I mean, maybe not that aggressive, but like pretty quickly. Do you think that, like, I guess you've only got the first one, but are you concerned at all about, like, are you going to plan on preserving any of them? Is that like a challenge, or have you not really considered that like, is it not that many vegetables that you think that'll be an issue?
So to come back to something Sean mentioned, is like being like, I need to, it's hard for me to maybe to plan. And in some ways it's like when you go to the grocery store, you may have seen a recipe, but you know, there might be a couple different forces at play where you're figuring out like, okay, do I want this? I could be swayed either way. What I'm doing now is I'm saying, all right, you are helping with that decision making. Instead of starting with a recipe and buying ingredients, I'm starting with ingredients. And you might say, well, you have to figure out a recipe for bok choy. One, I'm comfortable doing that. But two, even if I wasn't, they and I didn't realize they were gonna do this, but they have like six PDFs at the bottom of the email of what you could do with this. So they're thinking about that very thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a reasonable thing. And I've gotten to a comfort level with being able to react that I can handle that. But even if I couldn't, they're anticipating. Max, your thing about the organic produce, I'm not super concerned about that given how much food I make. And, you know, I work from home, so I can always make, you know, the lettuce. I can have a salad with the lettuce and the radishes, or you know, if it does get into zucchini and squash season, like I'll roast some squash during the day or whatever, or snack on it. Like that's not an issue at all to me. And I also have gotten better about how to store things properly. As well as if you start to get in this mindset of like, I want to avoid food waste, you'll force yourself. But another point is, and I think it's important whenever you, what day you choose to go to the grocery store, or in the case of this, which is what days you pick up. So there are a few different pickup options. I specifically was taken by this place because they offer a Wednesday pickup. Wednesday is really nice because I know that stuff will probably last until the weekend. But I also do a lot of, I think, heavier cooking on sometimes Wednesday nights, but definitely like, you know, Thursday or Friday, I will probably cook a larger thing. So it works for me, and there are ways to make it fit to me. Now, some places I'm sure you can only pick up on one day, but this was a big appeal for me personally.
I think for me, the that pickup is also an issue. Like we like to sit down on Sunday night, make a grocery, figure out the plan, say, this is lunch this day, dinner this day, lunch this day, dinner this day, lunch day. And we go and pick up, we only want to go to the grocery store once, just because we hate the extra errand. Mm-hmm. And so the waste would, or like the fact that A, if it doesn't actually give you enough produce for the week, or B, if it goes bad, it just, that would not, it wouldn't work for our psyches.
Yeah. No,
Does the extra trip, this is just not bother you that much? Or how far do you have to go to pick it up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the extra trip doesn't bother me that much because today was a bad example, but it's in an area. It's also in an area of town that I really like. It's you actually do the pickup at a brewery, which I will now. It's not my favorite brewery. Actually, Max, you've been to this brewery with me and we won't name it. But it's a nice place to hang out. So I will just wait for traffic to subside and have a beer. There's also a coffee shop. So it forces me to get out and about on a Wednesday afternoon in a way that I don't mind. Typically, I don't like driving what is, I don't know, probably a 6-7 mile journey each way, but I'm not getting out very much at all anyway. So I structured it so that it was a draw for me. Like that wasn't a terrible problem, but you know, that idea of like avoiding waste, I am going to put a lot of value in it and get the most out of that journey and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, the waste is what I'm most like. I've been trying to be very conscious recently about food waste, like mm-hmm. over the past 6 months or so. We've started composting, which actually helps a lot to just keep track of your food waste because it's pretty much like all your food waste is now going in one thing and you're no longer like taking out the trash to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've gotten a lot better, but this would be a serious challenge, I think. Just like, hey, here's a big pile. So I'm curious, like, do you know ahead of time what you're gonna get? I mean, obviously you could guess based on the season.
Yeah.
But like if you're trying to plan meals, like to Kevin's point, if you knew ahead of time, even just like a few days ahead of time, what you were gonna get, it could potentially help so that you don't need to do that extra trip to like compliment, oh, I was gonna make this thing and they gave me 3 of the 5 vegetables I need, but I need something else that they didn't give.
Yeah. They sent an email yesterday, so I knew it a day ahead of time, and I usually don't, I wouldn't do my grocery shopping quote unquote for the week. I wouldn't start until Wednesday typically. Like that's something I do on Wednesday or Thursdays and then Saturday markets. So it works in that way. Hadn't like planned anything yet. But I think that I guess I just don't need, I don't need as much lead time, but part of it is too, is I know going in that I'm going to react to this. And so I am already have it in mind that I am not going to be, wasteful. And part of that is definitely a value thing. And one thing that we haven't talked about yet is, you know, there is a price, well, Sean mentioned it, but there is a price that you pay at the beginning. And that is a huge part of the calculus and what I was thinking through, and also like full share versus half share. I believe that the full share for 15 weeks comes out to like right about $30 per pickup. Now, $30 may seem like a lot to spend on vegetables, but I think about what I spend at the farmer's market on any given weekend, and I may not always spend $30. But looking at what I got today, I'm like, if I went to the farmer's market and bought that stuff, which sometimes I wish I bought more stuff. Like frequently, I'm like, I wish I had got an extra head of lettuce, but it seems expensive. I think that the value is there. And this is going to force me to step outside of my comfort zone with some of the recipes. Like, what should I do with green garlic? What should I do with shiitake mushrooms? And otherwise I would not have gotten that on my own. And so I value that from an experiential perspective. And I also think that there's a good amount of value in it just in terms of like, I got a lot of crap.
Yeah. I'm also curious, like you just mentioned comfort zone. This may not apply to you based on how well I know you, but I think it would at least slightly apply to me and would certainly apply to other people. Like, What if they give you stuff you don't like? Like, hey, this week it's 5 zucchinis. Yeah. I'm like, I don't really like zucchinis.
I don't think they're picky eaters. I hear this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that this goes back to a lot of times. I think the idea is you pick a recipe and then you go get the ingredients for that. We're just inverting that here. So if you are a picky eater, or that's not even fair. If you are in situations where you want to have control over the food that you are eating, whether you're picky or you have macronutrient
allergies
goals, allergies, who knows what, but you, necessarily are going to be in a better position to have a recipe in mind and then be able to pick the ingredients. I don't have any I don't have any limitations in that way. And I'm a pretty open-minded eater. So this is actually perfect for me. And it does speak to the, like, if you're already someone who eats seasonally and stuff anyways, I think that this is probably encouraging to you because you are already letting external ingredient factors dictate the recipes that you choose.
Yeah. Is there anything with that? Like, what if you say, I will eat everything but mushrooms? Can they accommodate that or not really?
Well, you just, like, I went into a line and there are little things and it's like, all right, if you're the full share, get 2 bok choy. If you're the small share, get a boat, like a little, what do you call this? Like, sometimes you get tater tots in the little paper containers, mm-hmm. or you get a plastic little carton. You get that amount of mushrooms. I didn't have to pick up mushrooms. I could have been like, I'm okay this week or whatever. No one's going to stop me. But if I was like, oh, you only have mushrooms this week, I don't eat mushrooms, give me something else. It's like, well, this is a fairly like socialist thing I'm engaging in here. Like, that's all we've got. And you have to accept that going in. Like, you will get what they have. And I will say they had a bunch of add-ons. I didn't do this, but you could get like a share of cheese or a share of coffee or a share of rice for the season. I didn't do that. So there are some accommodations, but it's like, in addition to this base model is what you have. I mean, it's not like when you go buy a car and it's like, oh, I would prefer if it was, you know, leather seats versus cloth seats. It's like, no, we only sell this one model of car. And you don't have to drive the convertible with the top down, but we can't, you know, the top going down is going to be there. You know, it's going to be a button that you can press.
In Soviet Atlanta, vegetables pick you.
Yeah, pick you. Which is what it is. And it's a change for me, and it will have impacts, but I happen to be in that part of the Venn diagram where I'm okay with that.
So what is the, I guess, what problem is being solved by the CSA? Because I think for me, it's not going to solve a problem it's going to be more difficult for me to engage in a CSA than just go to the grocery store. And I have to, like, I don't know, I have to drive there and pollute the air more and, you know, like lots of other things. So it just, to me, it seems like it's in a class of a lot of these things where, like, if I could truly go get everything I needed to from the CSA, it would work. But because I can't, then it's just like this extra thing in my life that I don't really need.
So it's, and that's fair. And it's not really extra for me in terms of like, it's not in addition to anything. This is already a slice of things that I was doing. I was already going to the farmer's market a lot. I already preferred getting my produce at least there. So it's still meeting that. What I think is important here, and it kind of goes back to our discussion of places closing recently, is like, there might be a lot of options and there could be some competition in that. And there could be some edges in terms of like getting something that is less expensive. What I wanted is the community part of this, like being able to go and get my stuff from the same people every week, having that opportunity to, like, I don't know, I got a really nice email from them this week letting me know what was going to be there with all those recipes that I noted. I have, in the past, there have been vendors at farmers markets that I really liked and would recognize me, and it's no one's fault, but like, I don't really have that here. And I think this is an opportunity for that. Kick in the fact that when I go pick it up, I can have a nice afternoon or evening around it. And it's a good value when I look at the amount of money I'd previously been spending on this type of things. Like, that's really good for me. But it is the opportunity to have a connection that is more than just transactional. I think that that's a driver.
All a long way of saying this is not the kind of thing that you do if you are looking to solve problems like that. And that's fine. If you don't want to do a CSA, you absolutely should for no reason do one. This is one of those things where like you are actively looking to bring something else into your life.
Yeah, there is a thing that I enjoyed and I'm still doing it, which is buying local produce that is, you know, from farmers. I am still doing it. I'm just doing it a little bit differently. There was no problem other than I wanted it to be the experience to be a little bit enhanced.
I've been wanting to do one for a while for very different reasons, Pierce, because like I love going to the farmers market. I love looking around. I want to support those farms. Usually I'm daunted by the fruits and the vegetables, and I say, I don't know what to make with this stuff. I don't know what to buy, and I don't buy much.
Yeah.
So I almost think that the CSA could be a path into more of that lifestyle, because it picks for me, right? And it sounds like there's smaller memberships, so maybe there's ways to try it without, you know, like a full week's worth of vegetables every time.
Yeah. And I'll send you guys a picture of what I got, which felt like a ton of stuff, and, you know, I'm sure it will fluctuate, but yeah, ultimately these are like small businesses, like very small businesses. And we talk about, oh, it's good to support small business and everything. It's really hard to support small agriculture. And when you go to the farmer's market and you're like, wow, damn, the strawberries, the little pint are $8. I can get them for $3 at whatever. I get that. And yeah, in that sense, I'm losing money. But one, the strawberries taste way better. I can report on that. And I just, then I get to, not that it's about being snooty, but I can feel like my money went to a place and a thing that I am happy about. And if I need this push to spend a little bit more, but you know, at one time, but in the grand scheme of things, probably spend no more. Like, that's good. Am I still going to go to the farmer's market and get other stuff? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 'Cause I like going there, but this is something that I'm excited about because I'm supporting a thing that I say that I value. And
And this might not be a thing for you, but at least for me, it would probably help in the sense of like, you know, you'd be you're excited about what you're getting, which means you're probably, quite frankly, more likely to eat it, or or more likely to find recipes to put it in. Which again, it might not be an issue for you. It sounds like you didn't have a lot of food waste issues, but I know, like I said, I've been focusing on it for a while because there was definitely a period of time where I need potatoes because I might eat potatoes, and then it's like, oh, I didn't eat them, but if they were, I don't know, funky local potatoes, I'd get them and be immediately excited. Oh, I could use them for this and this and this. Like it almost makes the ingredients more exciting.
Yeah. No, if whatever the push you need is, maybe this is it, but you know, I encourage you to do that.
We won't let you waste food when Julia and I visit. Don't worry.
There you go.
Kevin will not let you waste food.
I'll give you a master class.
Yeah. His nickname is Compost.
All right. That is maybe where we should wrap up for today. Pierce, I know you haven't had enough room to talk on this episode, so let's move on to Pierce's Sorry. What do you have this week?
Well, this works because I got to the CSA today, and I'm standing in line, and it's not an excuse, but I'm just saying, like, I left in a rush. And I got to CSA, I'm standing in line. Here are these, like, you know, well-heeled people who have done this for a long time. Standing there, I'm like, oh. And so I get to the line, and I very forlornly, when I go to pick up my bok choy, which is the first thing, I grab one of the paper bags and that they have there and start stuffing stuff in the paper bag, which led me to, like, kind of go through the line as quickly as I could, and kind of sadly, because of all the things, if you're like, oh, I'm gonna go local, I'm gonna get organic stuff, I'm gonna smart these farmers, bring your own damn bags. I have so many, they are all sitting by my door. I have insulated things all over the place. Did I have any in my car? No. So I really made a fool out of myself out there. So I will not make that mistake again. I'm just going to get some reusable bags and like put them in the trunk of my car so that this does not happen again. Cause I need to, you know, I'm talking the talk, but I need to walk the walk at the CSA.
Yeah. I think in most instances, when you apologize for something like this, the other people actually don't actually think about you or care about you. But in this case, you're probably right. They were probably side-eyeing you. And
fortunately, the person in front of me also didn't have a bag, but like I knew better and I can do better. And I want to, you know, this is a new group of people. I want to look cool. I did not look cool.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Big idea from pop culture this week. Haven't exactly been in a mode of like seeking out new things, dealing with lots of life upheaval all at once, tends to send you back to old favorites. And, so I would just like to say that, aided by having read a long feature on The Ringer, based on the fact that I guess this year is the 20th anniversary of a certain band's first album, I've been kind of back heavy for the last couple days in the My Chemical Romance game, embracing my inner goth teen. And they're the two kind of big albums they had, Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge and The Black Parade, are both really great. The Black Parade is like if your goth friend from high school decided to also become David Bowie and Freddie Mercury all at once. So I would highly recommend, if you are feeling nostalgic for the early 2000s for some reason, like those two albums came out in 2003 and 2005 or 2004 and 2005. That's bananas to me.
It's Beatles level right there.
I thought Welcome to the Black Parade was later, but maybe that's just because it was, I remember being at church in high school and someone played the title track off of it at the like at that was church? that was the opening song to the service that week, and it was well done, but it's like I don't know who okayed this. I'm not upset about it, but other people may be.
Yeah, you can tell fine generational distinctions, but when you hit a certain note on a piano and figure out who thinks it's My Chemical Romance and who thinks it's Runaway by Kanye.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's what I've been listening to recently. Max, you got a trivia question for us?
I do. I'm also going to go back to the classics.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. It's a movie question. I hope it's fun.
Ooh.
22 and a half years ago, we were introduced to Gracie Hart. Anyone remember Gracie Hart?
We were?
Yes. Gracie Hart was a special agent for the FBI that went undercover during the Miss America pageant in the movie Miss Congeniality, played by Sandra Bullock. Mm-hmm. It's a classic. Mm-hmm. Reason I'm bringing it up is that yesterday was April 25th. April 25th is also known as Miss Congeniality Day. You may remember a scene from Miss Congeniality where William Shatner is asking the pageant entries questions, and he asks Cheryl. Cheryl is Gracie's friend, played by I'm blanking on that, but anyway, he asks Cheryl to describe your perfect date. And Cheryl says, well, that's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th, because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket. Now, obviously, it's a classic line. And so the question today, Cheryl, I'm trying to remember, she is played by, because I need to, Heather Burns. Heather Burns plays Cheryl Fraser. Now, Cheryl Fraser goes on to win the pageant, while Sandra Bullock's character Gracie comes in second. The question today is, what state?
Fuck you.
No? What a good question. What a good question. All that for the state.
Is Cheryl representing in the
pageant?
Oh
my God.
Is it A, New Jersey, B, New York, C, Ohio, or D, Rhode Island? And this is Cheryl. She wins the pageant. She's one of Gracie's friends. I can eliminate one of the options if it's way too hard.
No. I almost hope you didn't give us any options, but
Pierce just knows
You might know it is because it's sort of become a meme. People tend to share it on April 25th, which is yesterday. I know it came up on my Instagram feed 3 times, and the meme usually has the picture and she's wearing the sash with the state on it. So it is a difficult question, but it's like
I saw it too.
Totally impossible.
I saw it and I could have internalized.
I've got my guess in.
I think I do as well.
All right, you guys lead the way. I think I know, but I don't know.
You think? Well, you got to.
No,
lock
I don't.
It in.
I don't
lock
know.
It in
but
mentally.
I've locked in my answer mentally.
Fair enough. All right, Kevin, what is your answer?
New Jersey.
I am also New Jersey.
I had in my head New Jersey. I'm not going to change just because you all did.
All right. Well, maybe I should give you all partial credit. So the correct answer is Rhode Island.
Fuck! Ocean Stater.
God damn it.
But Sandra Bullock, a.k.a. Gracie, is representing New Jersey.
No.
We
got it wrong. We got it wrong.
The true New Jersey entrant is disqualified, giving the FBI an opportunity to introduce Gracie as the New Jersey contestant. But Cheryl, the true contestant winner and pageant winner, is representing the great small state of Rhode Island.
Not that it counts for anything, but I have AD written down on my notepad.
Yeah. Well,
counts
for
something.
I wanted to guess that, but it can be kind of cold in Rhode Island in April, so
that is like, yeah.
I figured I was looking for you to give me like a more southern state because my experience in the Northeast was it's freaking cold in April and I hated it.
That is true. Yeah, I didn't really think about that. I switched Nebraska out for Ohio at the last minute.
But, I would have gone.
Man,
Texas maybe. Anyway, so a fun little fact on that. I know I've already spoken a lot, but William Shatner in 2019 revealed why April 25th was chosen as the date. It's a little tidbit that would have been way too hard. Turns out it is the birthday of the wife of the director of the movie. So April 25th is Donald Petrie's wife's birthday.
Sure it is.
That is,
why wouldn't
it? Remember that for next time you're playing trivia. But there you are.
All right.
They don't make movies like that anymore, which is sad.
No, they really don't.
They really do not.
They made Miss Congeniality 2 in 2005, but
yeah, that was 18 years ago. And
well, I will say this. Those movies held on a little longer than you think they did. I would say the last movie, one of the last movies off the top of my head like that came out was Spy, the Melissa McCarthy movie. And that was probably, I mean, that was somewhere between 5 and 10 years ago, even that one. But yeah, that is the end of the show. You can find us at our home on the web, www.prettyokpod.com. You can also subscribe to the show feed on your podcast app of choice. We'll be back next week to talk about something else. Until then, I'm Sean.
I'm Pierce.
I'm Max.
I'm Kevin.
Thanks for listening. Bye.